Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on a Tuesday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined as always by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how we feeling?
Feeling very good. How about an energizing performance in Home Run Derby last night? A lot to look forward to. The NBA Finals, Kevin, tomorrow get back underway. A nice little reprieve here at the All-Star break. Let's kick it off and have an action-packed 2 hours here.
Yeah, so much to get to. Even if it feels like the calendar's taking a bit of a dip, the Home Run Derby provided all the juice we needed. And that is where we begin with our 7-7 top headlines. Pete Alonso repeats as the Home Run Derby champion. Plus 450 when we broke it down yesterday here on the show. Went up to plus 600. No matter when you got it, you cashed that ticket.
Absolutely. We talked a lot about nerves and who might be nervous in front of this big crowd and not used to be performing in front of a Home Run Derby crowd and All-Star weekend. Well, did you check out Pete Alonso beep-bopping around the field, dancing in between innings to Mobb Deep, Biggie Smalls? I mean, he had it going and put on an absolute show last night, knocking balls, you know, that didn't even seem to land. Whether or not StatCast even cared about the distance of those home runs is another story. But Pete Alonso was amazing. The show was last night. Home Run Derby, one of the best thing in professional sports for All-Star weekends. It was fun to watch, Kevin.
Donnie versus StatCast will develop throughout this show, no doubt about it. Also, Shohei Ohtani, who was the favorite, eliminated in round number one, but the weekend of Shohei Ohtani continues today with the All-Star game, where he's not only going to bat leadoff for the American League, but he'll also get the ball and be the starting pitcher for the game, Donnie.
I love this. It's fantastic stuff. I mean, kudos to Shohei Ohtani, who didn't have to do any of this. He could have just, you know, read the rule book like most other stars. You know what? I pitched during the season. I might do Home Run Derby, but then I'm going to be too tired. Now, sign me up for everything here. Give me Home Run Derby. Let me bat leadoff and also start. Fantastic stuff for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. I wonder what the ratings, Kevin, now will look like when everybody wants to get a glimpse of Ohtani early in this game. Fantastic for Major League Baseball. Thank you, Ohtani, for showing up when some other All-Star said, you know what? I'd rather hang out at home and skip this thing.
Yeah, A-plus stuff from Ohtani, who's absolutely a tremendous face of Major League Baseball here. Speaking, though, of again of Major League Baseball, the FanDuel Sportsbook has dropped the make or miss MLB playoff markets. A lot of good stuff that we will be breaking into during this first hour, Donnie.
Now, it's going to be fun stuff, and it's nice at the All-Star break where you sort of take that look into the second half of Major League Baseball season to make the playoffs, not to make the playoffs, maybe win a division. I know we have some good topics to bring up in just a few moments here in some segments that we are going to break down, maybe some long shots and some teams that we think will make and also miss the playoffs here, Kevin.
Absolutely. Switching over to USA Basketball. Not a mistake, not a leftover headline from their loss to Team Nigeria. They lose again, a second straight exhibition game. They were 54-2 in their prior 56 exhibition games. They've now lost two in a row, losing outright to Australia. Oh my goodness.
start to hit the panic button. Not so fast just yet, but I have to tell you, it is quite interesting here, Kevin, because most of the time I don't know when these exhibition games are playing. I don't even know what channel the exhibition games are on as we're watching Home Run Derby. But you know who knows? Social media getting the update. Uh-oh, here we go. Australia's got the lead with 2 minutes to go, Kevin. As you brought it to my attention, we switch over to it and watch the remaining seconds go off. And yes, Team USA lost another game once again, Kevin, on their home court.
Unbelievable. Their odds to win gold have dropped significantly. We will talk about that throughout this opening hour here. We welcome the radio audience into the fold. Thanks to everybody that is listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio and all of our radio affiliates out there here on a Tuesday morning, moving through hour 7 and 7. Top headlines, sticking with the world of hoops. The Pelicans are closing in on their new head coach as Suns assistant coach Willie Green has emerged as a strong front runner, according to ESPN sources.
Yeah, it's a good move here because you're trying to take, you know, a lot of these teams, what's the hottest team out there? Maybe the Phoenix Suns obviously have a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals, so you want to pluck somebody from their staff, but also this is a move that has to work, Kevin. Reason stated on this one, Zion Williamson. Only a couple years left before that rookie contract is up. You have to make some hay with him. Maybe pick a coach that he recommended and will get along with his style, because the one hope for the New Orleans squad is that Zion sticks around. Maybe this will help that out.
It is interesting that they are going to be entering year 3 of Zion and already feeling this level of pressure to get it correct. But it does look like they are going to have Willie Green be their new front man here. Keeping things moving throughout the top headlines here, Von Miller made some recent comments around the Broncos quarterback situation, saying that is the best team that they have fielded in quite some time. He trusts Drew or Teddy, but also if Aaron Rodgers is available, he believes the men in the front office will be able to get that job done.
Well, he's right. They are extremely talented, but it's one of those funny things that you look at, Kevin. You know, you have those friends that say, hey, man, great job, great job. And as soon as you turn your back, they stick the kick me sign on your back. It's like, hey, I really like the quarterbacks, but you know what? If we get Aaron Rodgers, we're going to be really good. So a compliment in one ear and out the other for the starting quarterbacks that with Drew Lock and also Bridgewater. It should be interesting to see how it pans out, but Denver's done it before. Maybe they'll do it again, make a big splash at quarterback.
It will be interesting. You do kind of see, though, why these odds keep suggesting he could end up in Denver. Because even Von Miller's like, yeah, I mean, if we're kind of in the mix here on Rodgers. Really, really interesting stuff. Laugh headline here quickly. COVID forcing out former Open champion to withdraw. Zach Johnson not going to be able to participate there, Donnie, at the British Open, which will be getting underway soon.
Yeah, running theme here. Zach Johnson now out, and there's a good story behind it, which we might bring up a little bit later, but also Matsuyama also opting out, even though he got COVID a few weeks ago, not able to prepare, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely. We take a break right here. Come on back. Break down last night's Home Run Derby.
Non-stop live on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on the early line. Time to talk about last night's Home Run Derby. Pete Alonso goes back to back. Shohei goes down in round number one. Odds boosts were cashing left and right. I mean, Donnie, just early on the outset here, what a delight this Home Run Derby was.
It was fantastic. It was everything we had hoped it would be, because when we were originally looking at the lineup, Kevin, now wait a second. We got Otani, we know is probably going to hit some home runs. We got, obviously, Joey Gallo, and then Pete Alonso ended up winning it. And then we're looking at the rest of the card like, Trey Mancini, he's basically getting the participation trophy here to be in the All-Star game, particularly the Home Run Derby. But boy, did we be wrong on that one. Matt Olson, what were we going to get out of him? You didn't know. These guys put on a show right up and down the board, Kevin. And also from the perspective of let's just take some dogs, because I remember talking before the show yesterday on In Play Sports Tonight, said, what happens, Kevin, with the odds boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook if we take Ohtani? and then we take Joey Gallo, and then after that, Pete Alonso. Let's just say you spread $50 or a half unit on each one of those. You actually would have came up with plus money. But after it actually started, where you saw Joey Gallo go down, Shohei Ohtani go down, I'm saying to myself, Ken, ooh, I'm glad I tried to avoid that, even though Pete Alonso was hot, still going to have to win a couple more rounds. Pete Alonso ends up being that big ticket winner here and carrying the tournament. But what a fun time. A perfect setting, perfect weather, ball traveling, a lot of fun to watch, Kevin. I thought Major League Baseball, no pun intended, really hit a home run last night with Home Run Derby.
No doubt about it. To put into perspective, by the way, how good Pete Alonso was here, but also how exciting this whole ordeal was, if you bet the dog in every matchup except for Pete Alonso's, you won. He's the only favorite that won in each and every round. Otherwise, the dog cashed. So there were upsets galore, and then Pete Alonso was just sensational here. And we were breaking this down last night live on In Play Sports Tonight. And Trey Mancini got things underway, started slow, and all of a sudden caught fire, and you could tell it was going to be a good night. But what Pete Alonso did in that opening round is a tone setter, Donnie. 35 home runs. We were starting to project out that potential round two matchup with Shohei Ohtani. Even though Ohtani was the pre-tournament favorite, if they would have met, because the FanDuel Sportsbook was providing us live odds when round two matchups were set and an updated leaderboard, I think Pete Alonso would have had to move to the favorite. Who knows if Shohei would have been able to get through, how it would have played out, but Pete Alonso was dominant wire to wire in this thing.
No, he was a lot of fun to watch, too. I mean, hitting mammoth home runs at the left field, and some seemed like they weren't even falling from the sky, just continued to travel in that light air. But also take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook as well last night. The New Jersey boost yesterday, which made Pete Alonso a plus 100 against Salvador Perez. I got to feel bad for Salvador Perez because we weren't actually lining him up saying he really had too much of a chance. But when you break down his performance, you just went up against an all-time performance, and he was lacing baseballs into the stands, and it almost didn't seem like it mattered, but my goodness, he probably would have won half the competition if he didn't have to go up against Pete Alonso. But it just shows the strength of the polar bear there at the plate, you know, coming in third in the odds before closing. Maybe he should have been first because he was relaxed, he was enjoying it, he's a repeat winner in this thing. And maybe Pete Alonso says, hey, this is my thing here. When most other sports, after you win maybe a dunk contest or two, you hang them up for the rest of your career. Looks like he really enjoyed it. Also, one more note here on the side. Pete Alonso still on a rookie contract, you know, arbitration. He's doubling his paychecks, Kevin, just by winning the All-Star Game Home Run Derby. Sensational night for Pete.
Yeah, he made more money last night than he will for the length of this current Mets contract for this one single season. I think you might see young guys start to flood this thing and realize that a payday's around the corner if they can catch Pete Alonso, who I agree, I also do not think is going anywhere. They kept showing Ken Griffey Jr. last night on the broadcast, three-time Home Run Derby champion. I'm sure Pete Alonso, his wheels were turning. Yep, me too. I'm sure he will be back next year if possible. You continue to look at some of these matchups, though, and you got to talk about the favorite, Shohei Ohtani versus Juan Soto. Soto goes out there, helps the people out with the longest home run boost, and then just goes out there and upsets Shohei in what was by far and away the most exciting round one matchup, going to double overtime.
Yeah, it was great stuff. And how about a 3-for-3 off the bat of Juan Soto to lift him into the second round? But also, let's not remember here, you know, the Shohei Ohtani performance, we were joking before the show, which is one of these guys that's going to hang like a 4 spot up here in Colorado and really embarrass themselves? Well, if you remember back to Ohtani's, what, Kevin, first 10 swings? I don't know if he got the ball off the ground or more than 5 feet off of the ground. He's saying, oh my goodness, the guy who's supposed to win it all is going to have the jitters here, but certainly pulled through. It was hitting some mammoth shots into the right field bleachers, ends up with a tie, close to advancing here, but it just shows you the power of Juan Soto, one of those guys that we know has such a pure swing, but when he's dialed in, it's effortlessly. He's just putting that ball into the right field seats time and time again, and oh yeah, that 520-foot shot, Kevin, 1/2 of a foot needed there, and he got it, which 519.5 was a bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook as an odds boost. Mm-hmm. Fantastic stuff by Juan Soto. Really high on Juan Soto from this. Thank you, Juan, for that one. But interesting performance here in the first round. Gave us exactly what we wanted. Wanted Shohei, maybe Kevin, to go a little bit further in the tournament, but we'll take it. It was exciting.
Ultimately, Ohtani versus Juan Soto was the best selling point of a home run derby that you could imagine. It was basically pro wrestling. which if you know me, you know that means I absolutely love it. The top star, Shohei, goes out there. Everybody thinks he's going to dominate. When one of your young up-and-coming stars in Juan Soto goes out there, A-plus performance, they keep things moving, they go to overtime. You're like, all right, clearly Shohei's going to continue to bop this thing out. And then by the end of it, Soto puts up such a clutch performance, he's over his heck. We still absolutely appreciate everything that Shohei Ohtani was doing. They basically worked a 4.5-star classic that was out of this world. It was beautiful, and all I can say is the Home Run Derby should keep this moving. First of all, this is the easiest star-making machine that they have. It'd be wild to not put Fernando Tatis into this next year. Mike Trout should be in this. Judge should be back in this. And I understand that Major League Baseball would take all of them, and it's up to those guys. Figure it out. Make the prize pool bigger. I don't know. Like, it was such a delight to watch this thing, and they should go further. Next year, when Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to set to come back for the Atlanta Braves, he should make his return in the Home Run Derby. They should do it Royal Rumble style, not even announce who's going to participate and have it be a big surprise. This was sensational, Donnie, and is the maybe the best way that Major League Baseball can go out there and make legitimate stars, it felt like.
No, you're right, because now if you have that, you know, let's just say 8 guys entering the tournament next year, you can also lean on the guys making all the money off the field. Let's just say, you know, Nike, Reebok, Under Armour sponsoring some of the biggest athletes out there. You can throw in some extra incentives. Hey, go and participate. We'll give you an extra $250,000. Win it. We'll give you an extra million. We'll make a commercial about you. We'll slap a Nike sign, an Under Armour logo sign. You can do that as well. But getting back to the actual competition itself with the 8, Kevin, and you're talking about wrestling moves and procedures here. How about the final? How about a little false finish by Pete Alonso? Down about 10 home runs, gosh. Calls timeout and comes out and plugs it. And you talk about getting over with the crowd. He had it all going on. The right music, the right dance moves, even leading the crowd in some guitar solos during commercial breaks. He was fantastic. Exactly what Major League Baseball needs, because maybe you didn't know about Pete Alonso, even though I've been telling you guys about this for weeks, that he was going to win the Home Run Derby. He is a sensational ball player with mammoth power. He is exactly what you want in Home Run Derby.
And also, I mean, he was working the crowd not only through the dance moves and things like that. He needed 16 home runs, gets to 14, hand up, timeout, thank you very much. I mean, his crowd work was top-notch. They bought in. It was pro wrestling, and pro wrestling is the best, and that's why the Home Run Derby was the best. The only question I have to you, Donnie, does the Home Run Derby work as well if it is after the regular season?
Yeah, maybe it won't be as hyped here, but also, Kevin, I'd like to throw my hat in the ring here. Look, I'm going to sit home next All-Star break and Home Run Derby. Maybe I won't even be on the air with you, Kevin. And I'm going to look at the TV, and I'm going to punt into the numbers for the distance of the home run of where I think they actually went last night. Because watching the telecast with the sound off as we did the radio, never knowing how far a ball was hit, even though they weren't landing, Kevin. I got a big issue with that, but I'm here to solve it.
One of the most insane moves of all time was having people have to find the scoreboard to know how long the home runs were going. It was wild. We'll come right back.
Come on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rideside with me here on a Tuesday morning. And it is time to make your case. Very excited for this. We did this before the season was able to get underway here for Major League Baseball. We've done it a couple of times throughout this show. And these make-miss playoff markets have now dropped on the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Donnie. Really excited to get involved with these. We've got a couple of good selections for the people.
No, we certainly do. And these are the funds where you could sort of hedge your bets on what you thought about the beginning of the season and say, you know what, let's reconvene here at the half. Let's see if some of those earlier predictions worked out, but also try to prognosticate exactly what's going to take place over the second half of the season. Got some interesting topics to make and miss the playoffs. Let's get it started, Kev. What you got?
Also, I just want to say, I love that FanDuel had to put a little notation that's the saying that this is based on a 10-team playoff format. If baseball insanely just changes the playoff format in the middle of the season, we're going to void the bet, which you cannot rule out when it pertains to Major League Baseball. But we're going to start with a make the playoff bet on the LA Angels. Look, I know I somehow found myself with a rap that I dislike Shohei Ohtani, but that's absolutely preposterous. The yes for this team is plus 920. Currently sat there with a 45-44 record as we head into the All-Star break. They are 4 games back in the loss column of that second wild card spot. And if you look at their recent performances, this team has really started to put it together. They've won 9 of their last 13 baseball games. And if you expand that a little bit further, they are 20-13 over their last 33 games. And maybe that doesn't jump off of the page. 20-13, that's not overwhelming. That is a 60% win percentage there. That would be the very best in the American League. The only team that's winning above 60% of their games would be the Dodgers and the Giants, I believe, right now in Major League Baseball. The Angels also have Shohei Ohtani, baseball's best player, possibly, continuing to dominate the game, and you cannot tell me that he is not galvanizing this group. They have the support, they have the mojo, and it lines up. Him continuing to smash home runs and their results getting continually to fall in the win column, I think, are absolutely correlated. And by the way, if Shohei isn't the best player in the world, maybe it's his teammate, Mike Trout, who we haven't seen since the middle of May, supposed to make a return soon after this All-Star break here. And you bring Mike Trout back into the fold, pair him with Shohei Ohtani, and a group that has things cooking at plus 920, Donnie. I'm making the case for the Angels to make the playoffs.
That makes a lot of sense here because the superstars will be back. You want to talk about that big three right in the middle of the lineup there, Rendon, Ohtani, and Trout. You should be able to make some hay. And also, if you have a deep pockets owner like Artie Moreno, you should be able to make some moves at the deadline. You don't want to squander these opportunities. When money is in your corner, like you have for the Angels, where the star of the universe, Shohei Ohtani, is on your team, you want to try to make the most of it. What type of, you know, response would the fan base say if, you know, Artie Moreno says, hey, you know what? I think we have enough here. Let's really not make a push in the second half. He has to absolutely make a push to maximize these three players, pick up a pitcher, pick up a bullpen piece, maybe another batter for the lineup here. It'll be interesting to see the second half of the season for the Angels, but I do think you're going to have some big things here, Kevin, out of the Angels for the second half.
And again, I know that they can't win. 4 back in the loss column of the second wild card spot, that is absolutely ground that can be made up here. But Donnie, go ahead, step on up to the stand here. I know that there's somebody that you've got your eye on in this market.
We're going to go to the NL East right now, and a team that was really shaping up to put themselves back in playoff contention but slipped up before the All-Star break. Who are we talking about? Those Washington Nationals, Kevin. How about this? To make the playoffs, plus 1120, which is a nice, juicy price. Now, as they sit right now in the NL East, 42-47, which is 6 games back, slid into the All-Star break, Kevin. Last 13 games, 2-11 overall. But the reason being for that 2-11, not because they're not a decent baseball team, not because they're not ready to make a playoff push. They played the Dodgers, Padres, and San Francisco Giants, which is going to be the key to my argument in just a few moments here on betting to get into the playoffs. So when you say, all right, maybe you should have showed better, at least 500, I get it. You slipped up against some of the best teams in Major League Baseball. Let's take a look at what they have, the positives here, Kevin, which if they do make the playoffs is a pretty big boon. Now, we're basing this off, you know, years of watching some of these players. Max Scherzer, a frontline starter, 1A pitcher, you know, Cy Young Award winner, the exact guy to lead your rotation in the second half if he stays healthy. But take a look at the two guys behind him, which is what we call the big three. Patrick Corbin had a sensational Major League Baseball career, seems like up until this year, where he has really struggled. Steven Strasburg has not had a great year. Why? Because he's been injured. He's been injured a lot over his career, but throwing simulated games on the mound, he is expected back in the second half. So let's look into the future and say, okay, let's correct and get back to our form, which would leave you with Max, Strasburg, and Corbin as a 1-2-3 punch. Looking at the rest of the NL East, all right, well, the Philadelphia Phillies, you have Zach Wheeler, he's great. Aaron Nola seems to be hit or miss. And then you take a look at the Atlanta Braves rotation, pretty much in shambles from a starting pitcher perspective. And then you have the New York Mets, which is Jacob DeGrom, Taijuan Walker, Marcus Stroman. But those three for Washington can go toe-to-toe with that big New York three. Let's also take a look at some of the batters in the lineup. You need to get Kyle Schwarber back. A hamstring injury, he's expected back for the second half. But you saw what he was doing, Kevin, over the first part of the season, setting records at the plate leadoff. That was when they were hot, seemingly coinciding with their slip a little bit, Kevin, was the fact that he went down and went on the IL. So if you take a look at a 1-2-3 of Schwarber, Turner, and Soto, that's a pretty good one to launch off. And then you take a look at veterans on that roster, who, if they step up in the second half, Josh Bell, Ryan Zimmerman, Starlin Castro, Josh Harrison, that also can make some sense here. So if we're looking to come back, six games isn't all that much when you still have roughly half of the Major League Baseball season back. You look at the Phillies, Kevin, obviously we know they're a talented 1-8, decent starting pitching, but the bullpen has been wrecked through all Major League Baseball, continuing from last year right into this year. You take a look at, again, at the Braves starters and the injury to the Braves lineup, maybe that they're not going to be buyers. So I look for the Mets to be the biggest component, but here's where I bring in the sort of curveball here. I like the plus 1120, Kevin, to get into the playoffs for the Nationals. I think they do make it. But I don't think there's any way, Kevin, that they actually make the playoffs without winning the division. So take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook odds right now, Kevin. Plus 1120 to make the playoffs, plus 1500 to win the division. If you're taking a look at the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants, who I think all are going to make the playoffs, that's your two teams in the wild card already taking up. So that means that de facto, you must win the division in order to get in. Kevin, let's do this. Take the 15-1 on the Nationals to get in the playoffs. Why? Because they're going to win the division.
I absolutely love it. And I think one of the key things, too, there, Donnie, is that championship pedigree that you mentioned. This team came back from much further down the board to get themselves into the postseason and then ultimately win the World Series. Soto, Turner, if they do get Schwarber back, they have guys that have been hitting all year long and will continue to do so. And there is something about that Mets lead that just does feel a little bit vulnerable. And it's a great point by you as well, falling back in the stands, probably because they had their toughest stretch of baseball that they will see all season long with that NL West trip. I absolutely love it. And of course, you know, I mean, Donnie gives me credit for being the young eyes and young brain there of it all. Finding that extra value, Donnie, on them to win the division is an absolutely stellar move here. Some big numbers we've started off with. Make your case. Plus 920, 15-1. There's a minus number out there that I still do believe has value. First time we've actually laid a number like this on Make Your Case, and it's in a little bit of a negative light, but I'm going to make the case for the no on the Toronto Blue Jays to make the playoffs here. I don't see the Blue Jays making it into the playoffs. Reason number one, they're in the AL East. I think they're the fourth best team in the American League East. If that is the case, you automatically cannot make the playoffs. You have to finish top three in your own division. I do not see them as better than the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox are basically just a better version of Toronto, a offensive-driven squad here, and the odds have reflected that. The Rays just consistently put results up on the board. I don't know what else to tell you here, and they are finding themselves pretty far back of Tampa Bay as well. The point of contention that people would have, and at least certainly with Blue Jays fans, is, oh, well, they're better than the Yankees. They're better than the Yankees. They sit at the All-Star break with the same exact winning percentage. The Yankees go into the break, even if they had a disaster final loss of that first half, winning a series in Houston, looking like they're playing baseball, the best start that Gerrit Cole's maybe ever had in a Yankee uniform here, putting results up on the board. But this is where I really transition to the next argument, which is the price. Even if you say that Toronto is better than the New York Yankees, are they markedly better? Is that a team that has the pedigree over the New York Yankees? Because the Yankees, no, is minus $2.30. Yet 70 cents less for the Toronto Blue Jays to miss the playoffs there? I'm sorry, but that price is way too good. If the Toronto number was minus 230, we would not be having this conversation. I think there's plenty meat on the bone, though, on that minus 162 number. And lastly, missed opportunity. Right now, if you look at where this Blue Jays team sits from a run differential standpoint, they should have a significantly better record. In fact, ESPN provides an expected win-loss record that says this team should be 51-36, except they're 45-42. You cannot squander opportunities. Any regression in this lineup, Donnie, and the results could fall by the wayside here. I think minus 162 provides value on Toronto to miss the playoffs.
And you know what you need, Kevin, during the backstretch or for the first half of the season? Most teams play better at home, but the fact that Toronto doesn't have a home, Kevin, looking at their home record, quote-unquote, 19-20 overall, and who knows when they're going to get back to Toronto in front of their own fans, Kevin.
Absolutely. I think it's good stuff there. Three great options there. We're making the case here. We keep things moving, though, with Hot or Not next, right here on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on the Early Line, fresh on the heels of a nice little make your case. I love a good make your case. It's always fun. Break it down, get involved there. A little futures market breakdown on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's always good stuff here. We keep things moving with Hot or Not, but we're going to stick with this make or miss the playoff markets here. The New York Yankees will make the playoffs, Donnie. It's plus 184. Hot or Not?
I'm going to go with a nod on this one, Kevin. As much as to your dismay as we take a look at the Yankees, I've been waiting for them to wake up, Kevin, the entire first half, and they haven't. And maybe you would have got a little bit more juice if you would have won that easy game on Sunday if you stopped a half inning short, but it wasn't meant to be. Yes, they still did pick up a series victory over Houston, which before the series, if you asked any Yankees fan or any front office person from the Yankees, what do you need out of this? We just need to win this series and head off into the break. Looks like you're going to get the extra game, but everything fell apart in the bottom of the ninth inning. So here's the crux of the argument. It's not as if, Kevin, we're taking a look at this, and it's a 50-50 pick, plus 100 if you want the Yankees to make the playoffs. But it is a little bit enticing here as we're approaching here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, right around that plus 185 number. But let's remind ourselves once again, they're 8 games back in the AL East. So if we're saying, all right, where does that put us with the rest of the American League? The Boston Red Sox are better. The Tampa Bay Rays are better. I do believe both of those teams will make the playoffs, which means one of those coveted spots that you're going to get from not winning the division as a wild card is already taken up. Let's take a look at the Central. You know, I don't think the Cleveland Indians are going to do too much, 45-42. But the Chicago White Sox, they're going to win the division. That's going to take a spot here. But then comes the AL West here, similarly like the NL West, very competitive division. That's a two-team race, it seems like, with the Astros and the Athletics. But Donnie, look, you see Seattle, 48-43. Now, I mean, they're going to fade through the rest of the season. I'd be very surprised if they actually entered into the West race with a chance to win it. So if Oakland goes to the playoffs, Kevin, that is the second wild card that is going to be eaten up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't leave me any room for those New York Yankees. So I'm going to go the Yankees to make the playoffs here, Kevin. Absolutely not.
I think it's hot. Part of it is I actually was considering Oakland's no at plus 142 for make your case. I'm just not entirely sold on this team. I think the Yankees are starting to play better baseball, even if they exclusively lose in the most heartbreaking ways imaginable. But I'm trying to remember that they won a series in Houston, plus also won the prior series against Seattle. The team just has no ability to sweep anybody, and that's been the case all year long, even when they were playing actual, like, good baseball consistently. The thing about this question, though, is we will have a definitive answer on this question, in my opinion, Donnie, before July ends. This is how the Yankees' schedule shapes up through July 29th, their first 13 games. Four straight against Boston at home, two against Philadelphia at home, four at Fenway Park against Boston, and then three down in Tampa Bay. 13 games, almost all of them against either the Red Sox or the Rays. They will either be absolutely buried or they will have significantly cut into that Red Sox lead and even a little bit of Tampa Bay. We'll know very quickly into July, Donnie, whether the Yankees are dead on arrival or if they are going to be legitimate buyers at the deadline.
No, it's a good point you bring up, too, because as I didn't actually look at their schedule coming out of the break. But as you were saying, like, ooh, that doesn't bode well for the Yankees here to see if they can make that, you know, run right out of the break. But then when you flip over the other side of the coin, it's like, wait a second, this is exactly what you want here. You want to make hay against your own division to try to push forward in a playoff push, because I was getting for you ready to say maybe, you know, four games against the Rangers, you know, two back-to-back series against the Baltimore Orioles. And you say to yourself, like, hey, that's the way to start the second half. But why not go trial by fire right away and say, boy, if we're eight games back, we can make it five games back after this series is over, or six games back, try to eat into it, going direct competitors head-to-head at that point. It's interesting you bring that up, because you're right. They're going to know right away here over the next 2 to 3 weeks if they're going to be buyers or just sitting it out at the trading deadline.
And that, because like, even a split probably isn't enough for the Yankees. Like, I know it's a tough ask, but they probably need to go 6-2 in the eight games against the Red Sox, plus a series win against Tampa Bay. Again, you're asking for a lot. I'm not saying that you're not asking for a lot, but the Yankees have put themselves in that kind of a position here. I wonder how much those markets will be available for us after the deadline here. That's why we wanted to jump on them, because they may lock up when we are now moving into the second half here. All-Star game today. We're going to break this down a lot more in hour number two. But Donnie's got a good one for us here. The winner of the MVP for tonight's Major League Baseball All-Star game will be a hitter, not a pitcher, Donnie. Hot or not?
I believe that's hot. Now, there's two cases of the argument that you can make, because most of the time pitchers in an All-Star game coming in for a batter, maybe an inning, maybe Josh Hader comes on late for the National League and gets an actual save so you can put him in that environment. But it just seems to me somebody is going to hit a home run in Colorado tonight. And that's going to be pretty hard to try to say a guy who hits a home run and his team won the game, he's not going to be the MVP, because typically that is the way you get MVP awards in an All-Star game. Maybe, you know, like a Mike Trout, where you can hit a home run, you can steal base in the All-Star game. It's a lot easier to do that unless you're putting on like a Pedro Martinez performance of about 20 years ago where he strikes out like the first, you know, eight or nine batters to start the game, and that's the only thing you remember from that game. But being in Colorado, being at Coors, Kevin, the total is an 11. Yes, there are some dominating pitchers here, but it's a pure hitter's environment. If somebody goes yard in this game, that's going to beat a guy who has a clean half inning with three strikeouts to me, Kevin. Absolutely, it's going to be a hitter. That is hot to win MVP of the All-Star game.
I totally agree. I think it is red hot here. I know Shane Bieber won the last All-Star Game MVP, but if you look at it then, back until 2014, exclusively hitters, the total is an 11. It favors the hitters here at this ballpark. But I'll go a step further. I don't know if we're going to have odds to win All-Star Game MVP while we're still doing this show. If we're going to get them, we would be able to get them, and Donnie and I will break them down tonight on In Play Sports Tonight for you as we preview that game. But I'll just say this right now. Shohei Ohtani is going to be the favorite for this award, and rightfully so, which at that point then, Donnie, would we be correct or would we be wrong about this whole ordeal? Because if he goes out there, pitches a clean inning, and gets a base hit, all the American League needs to do is win the game then, and Shohei will absolutely win the MVP of this game.
Yeah, it's like the dead heat. Like, you know, who's going to finish as the top goal scorer in Euro 2020? We never really got that correct answer. You're right. Will it be a hitter or a batter? Well, technically, it could be both. And is the deciding factor? Well, I mean, you know, he had a good first inning. Didn't get any strikeouts, but got everybody out. But then hit a double in the gap to lead off the bottom of the first inning. That's going to be interesting to watch it play out. But that's why I put that question in there, because Shohei Ohtani is the asterisk in this environment here. Yeah. Because he is both a hitter and also a pitcher, Kevin. Should be interesting to watch.
No doubt. The NBA Finals taking a break here. They will be back tomorrow. Can't wait to continue to break down that series. But I got a little question first here, because we've talked about where the odds were for this series when Giannis was fully healthy and the Bucks were expected to move past Atlanta. We didn't have exact series odds, but Milwaukee at one point was a minus 110 favorite to win the NBA championship while still in the thick of things during the Eastern Conference Finals. And we saw during the season Milwaukee favored when they played in Phoenix. So the question here, Donnie, the Bucks should become series favorites if they win Game 4, hot or not?
Absolutely not. And the reason being is home court advantage is still going to be in Phoenix spot. It will be 2-2. I get it. Now, when we started the series, if I remember correctly, Kevin, right around the $2 price, maybe 190 as a favorite for the Suns. But you know what that had a lot to do with? Whether or not Giannis was going to play in game 1, 2, 3, or even play in the series. Now, the fact that we know he's completely healthy, those odds are going to be much shorter. But you still can't leave out the fact that Phoenix played very well in their home court. Technically, Phoenix doesn't have to win a single game in Milwaukee to claim an NBA championship. It will be the best 2 out of 3 back home in Phoenix for Games 5 and also Game 7. I don't believe that Milwaukee will be a favorite if they do even it up at 2-2, Kevin. But I do agree that it's going to be much shorter than what we originally saw to start the NBA Finals before Game 1. So I'm going to go with a not on this topic.
It's hot for me. It's a should. And I think they should be favorites if they win this thing. Milwaukee was projected to be favorites in this series if Giannis entered fully healthy. He was not fully healthy for Game 1. By Game 2, yes, he was. He's now had 40-plus points in back-to-back games. If Middleton or Holiday show up, evidently they don't even need both. If one of the two show up, they've shown an ability here to beat this Phoenix team. I'm not saying overwhelming favorites, not by any stretch. At the minimum, I think this series should move to a pick'em here. Milwaukee was projected as the better team when they met during the regular season, during this postseason run. If they flash again in Game 4, I think this could very well shift to a Milwaukee price. It probably goes down to like plus 120 from that plus 200 number, but I think they actually should be favorites. We keep things moving, though, sticking with basketball. And it's almost a repeat of our question yesterday when Team USA had lost to Team Nigeria. We asked if the odds should drop from minus 750. Well, they have, down to minus 370. So now we go a little bit more extreme, Donnie. Team USA will not win gold at the Olympics, hot or not.
Man, like I've from a, you know, 72-hour profile, I'm saying, like, don't panic. You know, don't panic. Everything is okay. So what? They lost to Nigeria, which is a horrendous loss. Not as if you lost to, you know, one of the top-tier teams that's heading into the Olympics. Now you get Australia, which does have some NBA guys. But still, again, you have Kevin Durant, Damon Lillard, you know, Jason Tatum. You are at the elite level. You are on your home court. We didn't play in Sydney, Australia yesterday, Kevin. We played in the United States out there in Las Vegas. So when I'm looking at these odds dissipate, now as a gambler, and an oddsman, as we like to say we are, is this a better price? Are we extremely happy? And maybe if they lose another, you know, friendly matchup or a preseason scrimmage before the Olympics, does that number go even lower? So if you liked the 750 after the loss to Nigeria, you got to be loving the 370 if you think that Team USA is going to win at the Olympics. But I got to tell you, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, and then, you know, all hell is going to break loose. What gives me confidence right now, Kevin? I know they've only been together for about a week, but it's exhibition. I understand you're working on things, but the best players in the world just working on things should blow these teams off the court by 15 to 20 points, and they're losing these games. So what happens if they match up when they get to the Olympics against maybe a Spain or, you know, France or even Australia again, who's actually second now in the odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Olympic gold medal? I still like the 370 because I'm just going on what I've seen in the past, over the past decade. Once, you know, the redeemed teams and such got back on track, Mike Krzyzewski coaching them, they've dominated. So we'll see.
I'm wildly torn on this. Ultimately, I will say not. I would still project them to win this. It is such a drop from the minus 750. It is the first time in my life I've ever considered telling people minus 370 in the futures market is a great bet. Like, that doesn't connect for a lot of people, and it shouldn't. But it's essentially an odds boost, right? Because they lost an exhibition game here. They were still up in the game. Like, there should be some implied value. But there's a lot of things getting heat around this team right now. The roster, the players. there needs to be a conversation around Greg Popovich here, who's taking over for Coach K. Because Pop's not having a good run at this thing. People are talking about his win-loss record. His winning percentage is better as the coach of the Spurs than Team USA, which is outrageous. Donnie, they were at the FIBA World Cup in 2019, and they finished in 7th place. I don't care what roster you 7th place? And now this is the start here, and he's getting into arguments with reporters during the post-game press conference here. There is something off about this group here. They're back in action tonight, and it actually feels like an important game to track and follow. Really interesting stuff. We come on back and give out Hero of the Night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the Early Line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rideside with you on this Tuesday morning. It's time for us to give out our Hero of the Night. Breaking records and cash and odds boost. What more could you want? If you were tuned in last night to In Play Sports Tonight, we told you who it was going to be. Whoever cashed that over 519.5 odds boost for the longest home run, and it was Juan Soto. We entered that last round. We're like, oh, Otani, I hope he has enough swings out there. And it was only his opponent who eliminated him, Juan Soto, who cashes this thing and sets Donnie an MLB record for the longest home run in Derby history.
Sensational stuff last night, because when you're taking a look, and you are correct here, Kevin, will it be Shohei Ohtani? Will it be Joey Gallo? Will it be Pete Alonso? One of those guys is going to gift us a 520-plus foot blast. But yet it was the 8th-seeded Juan Soto who did damage into right center field, covers it by a half of a foot, which leads me into my next point here. Yes, the Hero of the Night was great. The odds boost hit. But why am I watching a competition where Pete Alonso is knocking balls into outer space and I don't think the counter could even read them, Kevin? 514 repeatedly on shots that looked like they were hitting the scoreboard in left field. And oh yeah, let's remind us. Trevor Story was out there. Was this home cooking? Out of nowhere, we're watching Home Run Derby. Nothing really big. Oh, there's a couple good home runs. A 518-foot shot that we were now measuring Pete Alonso's based on here, Kevin, because Alonso was knocking them over the seats where Trevor Story was hitting his home runs at 518. I was losing my mind here on the air. But a hero came along in Juan Soto and said, I got you, Donnie. I got you, Kevin. I'm going to hold this up. Give me one 520. It leaves the ballpark. Fantastic stuff. We end up winning our bet. But StatCast, get it together out here. Pete Alonso, 550-plus on at least two of those, Kevin.
He hit 35 home runs. They said only two of them went 500 feet.
Oh, my
God. No. Goodness. That's nonsense. Also, Soto hit this by the hook. What an absolute hero, Juan Soto. We appreciate you. Hour number two coming up next.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information. But we just call it The Edge.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.